Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what's going on?
Have your sources been able to tell you whether or not our producer and his lovely wife have had their child yet?
I checked in with him this morning, sent him a text, and no update yet, but we're waiting for the addition of a new bird to the family, Jordan Bird, our producer. Him and his lovely wife, they're about to have a baby. So we are waiting on that. Could be today, could be tomorrow.
Sarah,
so we're waiting.
Sarah, have you heard anything?
Sarah? No, I haven't. I didn't text him just because I kind of wanted to leave them alone. But if I don't hear anything by the end of the show, I'll probably reach out.
Yeah,
I don't. Bernsie, I will tell you.
I'm going to text him here pretty soon.
I watched one of your favorite movies of all time last night.
Oh boy, this should be.
And my wife was like, "If the dog wasn't laying on my lap, I would not be in this room right now watching this with you."
Do tell.
And I almost like, I can't believe that you just said that. I can't believe you said that. I go, this is one of the great iconic movies of all time. She's like, if the dog wasn't on my lap, I would be in my room watching something else. You know? So, and I'm like, but we would just watch Yellowstone. But look at Kevin Costner. Look how young he was. She goes, yeah, because it was 100 years ago.
What is the movie?
What is the movie? You're killing us with this.
The Untouchables.
Oh, she didn't like The Untouchables?
One of the great movies of all time. Seriously, one of the greatest movies.
Everything within the law.
And then what are you prepared to do?
Oh, Bernsie's favorite line. That's Bernsie's favorite line.
Cody is filling in for Jordan. Cody, you were quick on the draw on that one, man. I'm impressed.
That's good.
Thank you.
I mean, I didn't even know what movie. I guess when he went Costner, you go either Field of Dreams
and
Bull Durham or Untouchables.
No, The Untouchables, because it has one of my favorite scenes in any movie is when Costner is they're waiting at the train station for the bookkeeper, and then Andy Garcia is running, and he flips one gun to Costner, and then he stops the baby carriage with his foot, and then they line him up, and he goes, "You got him? Take him." It's one of my favorite scenes of any movie, any movie. The only thing that is, but there's so many Italian references. You know, everything that I was called as a kid when I left my neighborhood and went to another neighborhood is in that movie. Italian slur that I was called as a kid when I would leave my Italian neighborhood and go into another neighborhood, I was called all of those things.
I learned about Italian slurs thanks to The Untouchables. I had to go home and look. I'm like, what is a that? And what is a this?
I was called that.
I don't know. You know, I was like 16 when that movie came out. I'm like, I grew up in suburban Phoenix, man. Well, I didn't know what any of that stuff meant.
I mean, those were fighting words. those all led to fights, man. When you got called that led to a fight.
You know what, Chelsea, if you're listening, it's okay. I'm looking at, in my office right now, the movie poster I have up on the wall of The Untouchables. It's
one of the five best movies of all time.
She didn't like it. That's one of my all-time favorites. What are you prepared to do? What are the Suns prepared to do? I'll tell you what they're not doing tonight. That's our top story on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in.
Ain't playing a basketball game. That's not what's happening tonight. It was, and you knew this was coming. You just knew it. When the news came down yesterday about the Wizards and their game tonight being postponed because they had too many health and safety protocol guys on the roster and not enough, you just knew that after the Suns played the Wizards on Monday night, that they too were going to fall prey to the contact tracing issue. And sure enough, they did. This morning, the NBA officially postponed the Suns and the Hawks tonight, Gambo.
Yeah, and listen, no word on Friday's game. I just checked on this a short time ago. But it is very likely, and I did report earlier, I was on the Doug and Wolf show, that there were no Suns players have tested positive yet. If a Suns player did test positive, we would have gotten some word about how, you know, this player is in the health and safety protocol. So that's what we would have gotten some word that this player is in the health and safety protocol. So as of now, no Suns players have tested positive. But what I can tell you is that it's very likely that every single Suns player right now is in contact tracing. Every player. And the way the league looks at this is, say Devin Booker and Chris Paul were both guarding, you know, one of the players on the Wizards who is now in the health and safety protocol. You know, Hashimura or Wagner, right? Say they were guarding him, you know, throughout the entire game. Now you go to the locker room, and who are those guys next to in the locker room? Then you walk out of the arena. Who are they next to when they're walking out of the arena? Then you get on the bus. Who are they next to when they're on the bus? Then you get on the plane. Who are they next to on the plane? So it's very likely that every single player on the Suns roster is not available to play right now, that they do not have one single player available at this time because all of them had some contact with the players who were on the court and had close contact with the Washington players who are now in the health and safety protocol. If that makes any sense, that is what's happening right now. The Suns don't have any available players because everybody is in contact tracing.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And I guess the question, and I don't know the answer to this, and obviously the people you spoke to, they don't either because you just mentioned about Friday's game and not knowing about that. The question that we don't know the answer now to is how much time needs to pass before the NBA concludes the Suns don't have it? You know, how many tests need to come up negative before the NBA says, okay, you now have enough players that you can play on Friday against the Warriors or Saturday against the Pacers? Because what we've come to find out is just because you expose me to COVID, I'm not necessarily going to test positive the next day.
No.
Or the day after that, or maybe
days,
even the
days,
day
yeah.
after that. So how many tests will the Suns have to take before they have enough, before the NBA decides, okay, you're good, you're clean, you didn't get it from anybody on the Wizards, you can play? I'm telling you right now, this is based off of zero conversations I've had with anybody in control over the situation. I would be, this is just me talking as a fan and as a professional talk show host. I'd be very surprised if they play Friday's game. Very surprised. I just, even though today's only Wednesday, I just have a hard time believing that if basically every single player on the Suns roster is going through contact tracing right now, they're just not going to be able to have enough negative results on their tests to clear them. Because what happens if it takes 5 or 6 days to show up on one of the Suns players and now they infect somebody on the Warriors on Friday or on the Pacers? Now the Warriors go through their own little shutdown process, or the Pacers go through their own little shutdown process, and before you know it, it's the whole league can't play because of that.
Yeah, well, that would be the first negative test would have been Tuesday when they got off this. They played Monday, right? That was the game, Monday against Washington?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes,
all right, so first negative test would have been Tuesday morning. They arrived at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. They all took a test, so that would be Tuesday. Then Wednesday, Thursday, and then they test early Friday, and they get the results back. That would be 4 negative tests. I don't know. Nobody knows right now whether they will be available to play this game or not. If one person ends up testing positive, that will change everything. But as of right now, every single player on that Suns roster had some contact with players that were on the court with the Washington players that are now in the protocol. So that's where it's at. No Suns player is tested negative at this time, like I've been reporting. They don't have a negative test, but the league assumes
a positive test?
No positive test.
Yeah.
Lots of negatives.
Gambo, we live in a world. Yeah. We live What's in a that? World where positive is negative and negative is positive.
That's
when
right.
It comes to this
yeah, the Suns.
Very
nobody tested. Confusing. Nobody tested positive on the Suns, but the league is assuming that everybody was in contact for the amount of time necessary to be in contact tracing. They have no players available, and they'll play this thing out, and they'll just wait and see, and they'll continue to be tested. It's testing. It's all about the testing.
Yeah.
They will continue to test every day to see if they, you know, and they continue to test negative, then, you know, maybe you could play on that Friday game.
Woj, when he reported it this morning, and he was the first to tweet out that Atlanta versus Phoenix tonight has been postponed, retweeted himself and wrote this, and I've heard Sarah throughout the day talk about this during her updates. Contact tracing with Phoenix players is a factor because the Suns played the Wizards on Monday. That we knew. The Wizards have positive tests on their roster. Now, we had been speculating all day yesterday that the Wizards themselves might be a function of just contact tracing, because the two players you mentioned, Wagner and Hachimura, were listed as questionable for the Wizards game tonight when they were supposed to play the Jazz. Just the fact that they were questionable made us think, well, if they had tested positive, surely they wouldn't be questionable for the game. They'd be out for the game because of health and safety protocols. Well, now, according to Woj's tweet, and he's not naming Hachimura or Wagner by name, he's just saying Wizards players have tested positive. So this is, for them, it is no longer a contact tracing issue. It has now become a they've got players on their roster who have it issue, which I'm sure in part is what really ramped up kind of the severity for the league and the Suns in making this determination. At the bottom line of all of this, Gambo, I'm bummed. I was really looking forward to watching this game tonight. I was really looking forward to watching how they would bounce back after the Wizards game, how DeAndre Ayton would bounce back after the Wizards game, how in general Monty's comments might have lit a fire under this team, and how prepared were they to, what were you prepared to do? What were the Suns prepared to do tonight against the Atlanta Hawks? I was really looking forward to, I mean, like really intently watching tonight's game, every single possession, just to see how different they played after what Monty said. I'm bummed. I'm bummed that we don't get a Suns game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, me too. I mean, I think we all, you know, look forward to watching these games and wanted to see how they responded after the those losses to Detroit and the Wizards and see if they bounce back. And then it was talks about changes in the starting lineup and what were they going to do. And, you know, DeAndre Ayton, is he finally going to get, you know, add some offense to his game? Because that has been a major problem and a big talk with the discussion with the Suns. So not, you know, yeah, but then there's the fear too, is like, okay, like how, I mean, how close, there's been games canceled like seven straight days now. Like, are we close to a week or a 2 week shutdown, a pause? Yeah, are we close to, I mean, is the NBA close? I mean, you're canceling games every single day. I mean, are we close to a pause?
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, we will come back with the breaking news sounder because it has happened. James Harden is no longer a member of the Houston Rockets. We'll tell you where he's headed next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Arizona Sports. Breaking news.
As promised, here on the Burns and Gambo show.
All we do is
Adrian Wojnarowski. Oh, it is coming down, Gambo. It is coming down. Adrian Wojnarowski along with Ramona Shelburne. The Brooklyn Nets have acquired James Harden in a three-way deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Houston Rockets. Caris LeVert, Dante Exum, Rodion Krukoč, four first-round picks, including the Cavs' 2022 first-round pick from Milwaukee, and four Nets pick swaps go to the Rockets. Jared Allen, Torian Prince go to the Cavs. So, in exchange for James Harden, the Rockets get LeVert, Exum, four first-round picks, four pick swaps, and now James Harden is reunited with Kevin Durant, is teammates with Kyrie Irving, assuming he decides to show up, and Steve Nash gets to coach that mess.
Yeah,
have
well,
fun
you know what?
With that,
if James Harden was 27 to 28, this is a bad trade. Trading a superstar in his prime is a bad trade. You're not, none of those draft picks are going to end up being as good as James Harden. But trading a 31-and-a-half-year-old James Harden is the right move. You're not going to win a championship this year and next year. Him and John Wall, that wasn't going to work. This is a great trade for the Rockets. Four first-round picks, four first-round swaps. The young players, this makes all this. Now, you knew last night that was it. I mean, he basically said last night, get me the hell out of here. Get me out of here. I'm not playing for you anymore. Then it was okay. He's going to be kept away from the team. You know, while trade possibilities are being found, he wasn't going to play for them again. And he made it, and he wasn't playing good, and he wasn't. I mean, he looks overweight. He looks out of shape. I watched some of that game last night. He was terrible. They're terrible. He's terrible. I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess. I mean, he forced his hand, and that's what star players do. They can force your hand. I mean, you had to trade him. I mean, even if he's under contract. Yeah, no, he was going to make your life a living hell. You could say that, we didn't have to trade him. But no, you kind of had to, because that's what these players could do. So the Nets get him. We'll see if they can make that all work. They're a disaster anyway with Kyrie Irving right now. The Nets have done this before when they made that trade with the Celtics, got all those players and gave up all those draft picks. I think this is a good trade for Houston. I really do.
Arizona Sports. Breaking news.
No, you're not hearing double. Sham Sharani of The Athletic reporting that the recently acquired Caris LeVert by Houston is being turned around and shipped to the Indiana Pacers for Victor Oladipo.
Wow. So the Pacers are moving Oladipo. This is great. This is great.
Woo.
The Pacers are moving Oladipo to the Rockets for a package around I love Caris LeVert, man. LeVert is great. Oladipo, good players. Those are two good players, you know, in their prime. Although LeVert had the injury, but those are two good players in their prime. So the Rockets get LeVert in the Harden deal, and then they send LeVert to the Pacers for Oladipo. Gonna have to wait for some trade grades to figure this thing out. This is a lot of moving parts here.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Oladipo, this is the last year of his contract. I think he's a free agent. I'd have to look that up to be sure. If he's not there, he's close to there. But you're right. You mentioned the comments from last night, James Harden. So that's the latest, by the way. So Caris LeVert was part of that enormous package the Nets sent to Houston. Now Houston's flipping him to Indiana for Victor Oladipo. And in the middle of this, here's James Harden, who basically signed the paperwork last night for his own trade when he came out and said, folks, I've done everything I can on this team.
Which is not good enough. Obviously, chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games, you know, from the beginning of the game, they were just aggressive, veteran team, obviously, championship team, and you know, one of the best teams that we have in this league. I love this city. I literally have done everything that I can. I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah, thanks.
Okay, thanks. See ya.
Yep. Kellen Olson, our erstwhile Suns and / NBA reporter for ArizonaSports.com. Yes, Oladipo is an expiring unrestricted free agent this year. Caris LeVert has 3 years left on his contract. So the Pacers just flipped an expiring Oladipo, who might not have been back anyway, for 3 years of Caris LeVert, whereas the Rockets just flipped Harden and that god-awful contract and basically have an expiring Oladipo at the end of the season and
starting
every
over.
Single draft pick the Brooklyn Nets own for the next 10 years, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, there's no guarantee that all those years the Nets are going to be good. I mean, that's an older team. I mean, Harden and Durant are older players. And, you know, Kyrie, who the hell knows? I mean, you know, Stephen A. Smith was telling Kyrie to retire this morning. Just retire, you know? He's on a Zoom call with an attorney while the Nets are playing. I mean, he's a disaster. He is. You know, Harden with Durant. Now, listen, they're going for it. I mean, but they were once they went out and got Durant and they got Kyrie, they were in a go-for-it mode. And now with Harden, I mean, you'll see Harden pick up his game. He'll play better now. He'll be happier.
Oh,
he'll get in better shape. He'll play better.
Oh, he will. I think, this is a simplistic way of looking at it. Man, that is – you're talking about a first-time head coach in Steve Nash. That is, you talk about juggling the ego balls. Good luck not dropping any of those, if you're Steve Nash. I mean, just the dance he's got to do to keep every single egomaniac on that roster happy. I mean, even Greg Popovich himself, I don't know if he could handle that. It's a supremely talented roster. I mean, they are just going to be so much fun to watch because on any given night, any one of them can go off for 45 if they wanted to. But if that doesn't work, that is one of the greatest collections of egos. And because of that, one of the most fragile experiments we've seen in the NBA in the last 4 or 5 years. And Steve Nash is the one who has to make that work. That's a big ask out of Steve Nash right there. Big ask out of him.
Yeah, I mean, a first-time coach, right? And you wonder how much authority he even has. But now the expectations are that you've got to win a championship. I mean, you just gave up all your draft picks. You know, and you're capped out because of Harden's contract, and you're capped out, so you have no room. I mean, you're going to have to add play in the future. You're just going to have to add guys on minimum contracts because you're completely capped out. It's going to be a bunch of minimums to play with these guys. They had great depth. So they still have, like, you know, really, now Dinwiddie's out for the year, but they still got Harris, who's a great shooter. So there is still talent on that team. But they gave up LeVert, who's a great player, and they gave up Allen as well, right?
Yes, they gave up. Yeah. They gave up Jared Allen as well. Yes, they did.
Yeah, and so that's those are
He's going to Cleveland. Yeah, Jared Allen is off to Cleveland. Yep. Yeah, but two really good pieces.
Yeah, he's a nice piece. Dinwiddie's out for the year, so you'll rely on, you know, you got Jeff Green, Joe Harris is fantastic. You got Tyler Johnson, you know, the former son. So there are players there, but they, you know, LeVert, they just felt like, and I like LeVert. I mean, I think that they could have won with what they had. Because I think that, you know, you had Durant and Kyrie, you had the two stars, and you had a lot of great role players around them. You know, LeVert could score from anywhere on the court, and Harris could shoot the lights out. So, you know, I felt like they could have won the East with what they had, you know, but they felt like, okay, let's go get Harden. And Harden wanted to play with Durant.
Yeah, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here with James Harden traded to the Brooklyn Nets. The Arizona Cardinals, and one of the biggest questions that come up in the last couple of days after some maneuvering they've done with their coaches, will they add an offensive coordinator to go along with Cliff Kingsbury? We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
See what our poll question is now, because I know what it was.
Well, that's actually still what it is. We're kind of juggling with fire back
that's
here.
Okay.
So what we can do is ask, what do y'all want our new poll question to be? Because it was about James Harden and where he might end up.
All right, so what we'll do is we'll roll out a new poll question at 4:30.
Yes.
We were not anticipating Harden was going to be traded this quickly.
Yeah.
Because the poll question was something along the lines of, where do you think he should go? Where will he go?
Where do you think
right?
he ends up? Yeah.
Where do you think he ends up? Yeah. We weren't expecting it to happen. So I'll tell you what, Sarah. We'll in the name of breaking news and things moving fast, and
yes.
you had to rewrite your entire update on the fly. It's okay. We'll just come up with a new one at 4:30.
I appreciate
and we'll
that.
Roll that out. No problem.
Can I just give
ahead,
a quick
yeah.
shout out to our followers who, before the news broke, James Harden landing with the 76ers was definitely the leader in the clubhouse with the poll. And now everyone's just voting on this poll, voting for the Nets.
Voting for the Nets, even though, like, it's already happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, I that's what I was going to say. I was going to say he went to Brooklyn, so... Good for you.
A couple
guys.
Of notes about this trade for you, Gambo,
yep.
While Sarah works on a new poll question. Sham Sharania tweeted, and sorry to make this all about Twitter, but that's where a lot of this information is right now. So the current trade, as we know it, it's basically a four-team deal with the Rockets ultimately ending up with Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum, four first-round picks from the Brooklyn Nets, four first-round pick swaps from the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets get Harden, the Pacers get Caris LeVert, the Cavs get Jared Allen and Torian Prince. What Shams added to the conversation is simply this. All four first-round picks and all four first-round pick swaps to the Rockets are unprotected. Every single one of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure Houston was like, they probably had Philly and the Nets, and they said, give me your best offer. Let's go. We got to get rid of this guy by yesterday. So... make your best offer, and let's make a deal. The Nets are probably thinking, I don't care about giving up the 27th, 28th, 29th pick in the draft. That's not going to be a good player anyway. We're trying to win a championship.
Yeah, and you know what? For the first year or two, they probably will be the 28th, 27th, 26th pick in the NBA draft. I mean, that is now an Eastern Conference powerhouse team, one where – representing the East in the NBA Finals should be considered their birthright with the talent that they have on there. And given how kind of depleted the East is to begin with, but here a few years from now, when Harden gets old, when Durant gets old, when that whole thing falls apart under its own weight, when all of that happens, suddenly those unprotected picks that were in the 20s, then they're in the teens, and then they're in the lottery. And then
sure.
before you know it, Houston has a decade's worth of picks. But from the Suns' standpoint, okay, and our buddy Espo just pointed this out on Twitter a moment ago, and he's absolutely right. Take a black Sharpie pen and draw a line right through the Houston Rockets. You no longer have to worry about them. if you're the Phoenix Suns when you're looking at teams that you're competing with in the Western Conference. That's it. They're done. Scratch them off. You don't have to worry about them anymore.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's, you know, there's a feeling that the Celtics squandered the haul that they got from the Nets, right? I mean, it was a blockbuster trade in 2013. Garnett, Paul Pierce, Jason Terry, along with a 2017 first and second round pick to the Nets. The Celtics got back first round picks in 14, 16, 17, and 18, and a whole bunch of expiring contracts. But they really didn't take advantage of that, you know, the way you would have thought. They didn't. You go look back, look at the players they got. They didn't get, you know, the players that were able to get them over the hump in that. So, you know, it all depends. I mean, if Harden wins the Nets a championship, they won't care. I mean, they won't care. It works. I mean, it works. You know, if he doesn't and they end up being bad and they end up giving up great, it really all depends. It's tough to tell, but it really all depends on, you know, what they end up getting in with all these draft picks they're getting back.
Yeah. All right, let's turn our attention to the Arizona Cardinals as the big trade, James Harden, to the Brooklyn Nets continues to sink in a little bit. There has been a lot of speculation over the last week or so. Cardinals season ended about 10 days ago now, a week and a half. There's been a lot of speculation about what the Cardinals might do with their offensive coordinator position. Now, Cliff Kingsbury is obviously the offensive-minded head coach. He made it very clear in a podcast a few months ago that he would never give up play calling duties. He just loves it too much. But that has not quelled the speculation that the Cardinals might be looking to add some sort of an offensive coach, maybe even an offensive coordinator, one who wouldn't call plays, but certainly one who could help, for lack of a better word, coordinate the offense better. And with all the moves that were made a week ago, David Rye, the wide receivers coach, being let go, Tom Clement, the pass game coordinator, retiring, a promotion from within, it's given rise to a lot of speculation that there might be a coaching move on the horizon. What are you hearing about that, Gambo?
You know, I don't think that the Cardinals go outside of the organization to go get, like, an offensive coordinator. I don't see that happening. Look, here's one of the reasons why, too. There's seven jobs right now, and there's seven coaches coming in, hiring offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, quarterback coaches. You know, so, you know, the pickings would be real slim. So I don't know that you're going to be able to get, you know, the guy that you, if you really wanted a guy. I still think that they'll really rely on Cliff. They made the change with Rye. He's gone. And I just wonder if they, you know, if they just kind of handle it themselves. I mean, you know, maybe you give Cliff some help. I mean, Kugler's got head coaching experience. He's been in the league for a long time. You know, do you rely more on him, and not just in the run game? You know, maybe he's a guy you could rely on more, you know, for overall with Cliff, the passing game, the running game, the attack, the game plan, you know, the scripting of the plays, everything like that. I mean, they have a great offensive guy on the staff in Kugler, very, very well respected. So maybe they go in-house, maybe they stay in-house. I just don't see, especially with seven openings right now, I just don't see them going outside the organization to bring somebody in to be the offensive coordinator. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, especially when, I mean, if you're competing, okay, to your point, and it's a good one, you're competing with seven head coaching vacancies in the NFL and seven either offensive minds who are going to get head coaching jobs or seven coordinators that are going to get hired for these seven jobs. Whoever you would bring in as the offensive coordinator is going to want play calling duties. And sure, would a guy take the gig without him? Yeah, but not until that person has missed out on their chance to be an offensive coordinator somewhere where they can call plays, where they can have that freedom. So if you're offering an OC out there the choice of a potential job where you can call plays or a job where you can't, you're going to take the one where you can every single day. So I think that in part two, if the Cardinals even did want to go outside, kind of limits their attractiveness on the open market, because Cliff has come out and said, I'm calling plays. That job, what offensive coordinator is going to want to take this job if he's not calling plays? I think that kind of mandates to a certain extent that you look in-house.
Yeah, I mean, you remember what Bruce did with Goodwin, right? I mean, he gave him a title, but he still called all the plays, you know? But that's
now, eventually
what
he let Leftwich call the plays. Eventually,
eventually,
not here, but
not
in Tampa,
with Goodwin.
Right? He act, Yeah, but not with Goodwin. Oh, no, with Goodwin. That was all Bruce. He was
With Goodwin was it was, but they gave him, you know, they gave him a title. Listen, I do think that, you know, it would be smart to see if there's somebody in the organization that, you know, that can, you know, be more of assistance or more of a voice, you know, with Cliff to help him, you know, especially, you know, late game situations and third downs and fourth downs and game management and clock management. The guy that, I mean, just the guy that has the most experience that's been around a lot of great head coaches and has had a lot of success is Kugler. So yeah. I would think that you look to him to kind of help. But I, with seven openings, I just, you know, can he go get this guy? Can he go? No, that guy's going there. Like, there's a lot of other places that are going to have openings for offensive coordinators and quarterback coaches and guys like that. And those openings are going to fill, and they're going to fill quickly. And so I think that it's more than likely they stay in-house for the help that they may need rather than going outside.
Real quick, because we're getting close to a break, the running back position, also something there's been a lot of speculation about, in particular with Kenyon Drake becoming a free agent, how much they spent on him last year. Surely that is a position that needs to be addressed. The question is, how do they go about addressing the running back position?
Yeah, I draft and free agency. I mean, I'm going to continue to say this. I do not expect Kenyon Drake to be back. I think that Kenyon Drake is gone. I'm going to go with the rental car philosophy. They rented him for a year, and now they'll turn the keys in and they'll move on. And then they'll look in the draft to see if they can get somebody, and they'll address the, you know, they'll look in free agency as well, because they're certainly not going to pay anywhere near what they paid Drake this year to fill that running back spot. It's just not going to happen. So if they do get a running back in free agency, it's going to be on the cheap, and it'll be a guy that, you know, that they feel can give them something, but not cost you $7, $8 million. Somebody cost you more like the 2 or 3 range. But I also think very likely that they could, you know, go the draft route as well. But I would expect right now that Kenyon Drake is not going to be back.
When we come back, it has been a very slow offseason in Major League Baseball, unless you're the San Diego Padres or a couple of other teams. The Diamondbacks, as pitchers and catchers reporting looms closer and closer, assuming it happens, are they getting close to making anything happen? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. January 13th, and do you know where your Major League Baseball team is? it's been real quiet from the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's been real quiet from the Arizona Diamondbacks. And to be fair to them, and that wasn't meant as like a cheap shot on the Diamondbacks. It's been real quiet for about 2/3 of baseball. They haven't done much. Money hasn't been spent. What was the number I threw out there last week that this time the money spent on free agents this time now compared to this time a year ago, it's something like 1/9 the amount, right? It's a ninth as much this year as it was last year, when it was 9 times more in terms of the money being spent. It's not just a Diamondbacks thing. It's a Major League Baseball season. It's a Major League Baseball thing for all the reasons that we've talked about. The money the sport didn't make. Everybody's kind of hesitant because they don't know about attendance and how much money they're going to make this year. Still, Gambo, we are very accustomed to off-season moves from Mike Hazen, whether it's Paul Goldschmidt or Madison Bumgarner or Cole Calhoun or et cetera, et cetera. Taijuan Walker, Ketel Marte, we're used to him wheeling and dealing. It's been very strange to see them so quiet this off-season so far.
Well, when you lose, you know, upwards of $75 million as an organization, and you're not going to have the same payroll, and you don't know if there's going to be fans in the stand this year, you're not going out there actively, you know, spending money. Bumgarner's contract goes up. It doesn't go down. You know, last year would have been a great year to have him making $20-something million. But they just, the way they worked the contract, he made the least amount of money last year. So that was good for him, but bad for the Diamondbacks. You know, the Diamondbacks did have people at the Corey Kluber workout today. So let's just start with that. The Diamondbacks did have representation. Corey Kluber worked out today. He's 34 years old. He's, you know, he could give some teams some real rotation help. So the Diamondbacks, you know, were they attended. There were about 25 teams there. You know, he threw the ball well, about 89 to 91 miles per hour. But he's only made 8 starts over the past 2 years. He had a fractured right arm when he got hit by a line drive. So we'll start with Kluber. The Diamondbacks were there. They are interested in rotation help, but it's not a priority for them, right? Getting another starter is not a priority. They view their 1-2-3 as solid. Bumgarner, Gallen, and then Merrill Kelly. And then depth-wise, they've got Weaver, they've got Caleb Smith, they've got Taylor Widener, they've got Corbin Martin. Those guys could battle for the 4 and 5 spots. And they've got Alex Young as well to help with the depth. So they're, you know, we don't know what Kluber's going to want financially. The Diamondbacks were there. You're always looking for starting pitching help, but starting pitching help is also the most expensive help to get. Even the risky guys like Kluber are going to get, you know, get decent money. So for the Diamondbacks, I wouldn't say that starting pitching is their priority. It's not urgent, but, you know, if they were able to land a guy like that, then, you know, they would consider it. It's more likely that they will continue to wait for the market on relievers and a right-handed bat to fall, but that they're also looking at trade possibilities. Burns, I would not be surprised if it's a trade instead of free agency to address some of those needs.
So to address the relievers or
right-handed bat. Yes.
Well, a trade. I think a couple of things on that. I think number one, Mike Hazen. Typically, let's be honest, the Arizona Diamondbacks are never going to be the biggest spenders in Major League Baseball. And because of that, it kind of forces Hazen and his crew to be creative. And part of being creative is trade. So that's a big part of being creative, as a matter of fact, is kind of looking within. And I know there are some in the industry who looked at, like, what I was reading a Zach Buchanan story on The Athletic today. And even he was suggesting, you know, it really didn't cost the Padres that much to get Yu Darvish. Maybe there are deals out there to be made for the Diamondbacks that don't cost them a whole lot when it comes to making some sort of a deal. I think he's going to have to get creative. I think trades are a big part of that. I think the second thing that is bound to happen, and you can see it coming a mile away, we are, what, 5 weeks away, roughly, from pitchers and catchers reporting and from workouts beginning at Salt River Fields, right? I think you're going to see in another 3 to 4 weeks, if all of these players are still unsigned, you are going to see a run on clearance-priced baseball players like you've never seen before in Major League Baseball.
Yes.
I think guys are going to they're going to hold out, and they're going to wait, and they're going to think they're worth more money. And eventually, especially Gambo, knowing that this sport, I hate to say this, is probably going to go into some sort of a labor shutdown for 2022. So this might be your last chance to make a little scratch if you're a Major League Baseball player before there's some sort of a shutdown. I think you will see a massive amount of deals in the free agency market. Guys who expected to get a whole lot more who aren't going to get that. And all of those will happen about a week before spring training happens. I bet that's what happens.
You know, listen, the Mets are going to pay Francisco Lindor. The Padres, they have a new owner. You know, so that's why they're making this big splash. They've got a new owner. They lost money too, a lot of it, but they got a new owner and he wants to make a big splash. Trevor Bauer's going to get paid. So Bauer's, you know, he'll get his money. But I agree with you on just about everybody else. Those guys are going to take a little bit of a beating. And that's why a lot of people feel like the agents are trying to steer the players 1 year deal. Let the market reset next year. Don't, you know, 1 year deal. And we'll just take it on the chin this year because these teams have lost, you know, I estimate the Diamondbacks probably lost about $75 million, and a lot of other teams lost more money than that. But everybody lost money. Right? Nobody lost less than $50 million. Everybody lost a lot of money, and these teams aren't in a hurry to go sign players to 3 and 4 year deals, you know, for mega dollars anymore. They're looking at the and it's not collusion. It's just here's my budget. You know, my budget was $120 million. Now it's $105 million. So that's what my budget is. I'm not colluding with anybody. It's just I'm not going to spend the same money because I've lost so much. So that's where we're at right now in baseball.
Now, does that mean the Diamondbacks are going to be able to either trade their way into a competitive roster or sign their way into a competitive roster? I don't know. Dodgers just won the World Series. The Padres look very, very good. Those are two awful teams to have to share a division with. And, of course, the Diamondbacks themselves, if they do largely keep the status quo from last year, well, the status quo kind of stunk a year ago. I mean, that team wasn't any good. They seem like the core of last year's team is going to be the core of this year's team unless there's some sort of dramatic trade shakeup that comes down. I don't know if that – I think they can field the roster, certainly. I think they can, with a trade here or there, and with a free agent bargain that's bound to come along here or there, I think they can field a roster that will be interesting. But I don't know if it's going to be competitive enough in this division when you consider how poorly the Diamondbacks played last year, Gambo. I don't know who they are or what they are in terms of a roster. It was very disappointing to watch them play baseball last year.
It was. Now, they're going to have to rely on bounce-back years from guys. Going to have to rely on bounce-back years. Can Escobar get back to playing the way, you know, he used to play? I mean, that's going to be a key. You know, Carson Kelly, who had a down year. So many, they had too many guys that had down years at the wrong time, you know, at the same time. So, and they don't have the money to go fix this, so it's going to be, you guys got to play better. You guys, for us to be somewhat competitive, and it's going to be tough with the Dodgers and the Padres, but the Rockies and the Giants, they're not any good. So it's going to have to be from within. You guys got to come in shape, and you got to come in determined. And if they're going to play 162 games, great, but they're going to rely on those players last year who failed miserably to perform better. And if they don't, then they have no chance of being competitive.
Yeah. When we come back, a lot of criticism, a lot of conversation surrounding DeAndre Ayton this week. And unfortunately, we're not going to get a chance to watch him play tonight. What does he need to do to get better? Help the Suns win now. We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.